Hi, this is Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church, inviting you to our Christmas service, which is actually on Christmas Eve, December 24th, that's Saturday, at 1 p.m., 1 in the afternoon. So come on out if you'd like to worship with us. We are in Wheat Ridge at 41st and Independence. It's just south of I-70 in Kipling, so we'd love to see you for Christmas. Actually, it's Christmas Eve day, Saturday at 1 o'clock. May God bless you.
One morning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Here at Bob Enyart Live, we were deplorable before deplorable was cool. We're going to have a headline news session where we read the news and demonstrate that when you hold a robust Christian worldview, you can better understand the headlines, not being taken in by fake news, and just generally have a better time of it. Enjoy your interaction with the culture when you're coming from a position of knowledge and understanding and not confusion. After all, the news, what is the news? This is a news talk show. The news is the unfolding of Christian history, right? Isn't that what news is? With the significance of every event revealed only through Christ, whether an event is in opposition to him or in submission to him. For of course, Christ's coming is the pivotal event in all of human history, his first advent. And by the way, that reminds me of the politically correct effort to change BC, the years BC, like 1500 BC, Abraham lived in 2000 BC. They are changing BC to BCE. So before Christ to before the common era. And they're changing AD to CE from Anno Domini, the year of the Lord, the Latin initials AD, to CE, common era. However, there is no common era other than the one that unites mankind and our history centered on the birth of Jesus Christ. So, you know, that attempt backfires, including in the same way that it backfires to tell someone, don't think of a flying elephant. If you tell someone, don't think of a flying elephant, what are they going to think of? And so every time a secularist writes BCE, instead of BC, instead of before Christ, he writes BCE, before the common era. Every time he's thinking of Jesus Christ, it's unavoidable. So let's go through some of the news headlines and see what we can make of it. So from the Drudge Report, above the fold, we've got Chicago breaks 1940 snowfall record. So a lot of snow in Chicago. Wall of snow in North Dakota, 300 miles of interstate shut down because of the cold weather and snow, temperatures plunge across the USA, coldest spot minus 35 degrees below zero, and here's the live chill map. So each of those are different stories. And then there's this, another down year in the USA for tornadoes and major hurricanes. That's from over at climatedepot.com. And then there's the Pope. The Pope warning the media over the sin of spreading disinformation. And this is the global warming Pope. This is the global warming Pope who seems to think that it's more important to fight global warming than to oppose homosexuality. And global warming is make-believe. At any rate, coming from a Christian worldview where the Bible informs our understanding of the world we live in, indeed of the universe, and of heaven and hell. We remember that in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis chapter 8, we read, "Warning, warning, warning, Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. This warning gives fair notice to all liberals that unadulterated truth is about to be uttered." Okay, so in the book of Genesis, written by Moses, back in chapter 8, we read this. "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." So while the earth remains, winter and summer shall not cease. And that verse is quoted at the end of an article on our website about global warming, the scientific evidence against global warming. It's pretty hysterical to read this, the extraordinary news accounts. One, for example, Antarctica, the sea ice around Antarctica is essentially the same as it was 100 years ago when explorers began to carefully document the sea ice around that southern continent. So that's just one example of so many, many, many. At any rate, so here we see these headlines in the news about record snowfalls, record cold temperatures. The nation is in this deep freeze. And it could be a result of the Gore effect, of course. You know, the weather phenomenon known as the Gore effect, when there are global warming conferences, when Al Gore is going to give a climate talk, we tend to have record-breaking snowfalls and cold snaps. It's ironic. Blizzards, for example, and I could give you a handful of these. Whenever there's some global warming effort, you end up having the most hysterical news. Like this year, the Arctic global warming expedition was stuck in the ice. They hadn't even reached the Arctic Circle yet. They're on their research vessel, and they're headed there, and they get stuck in the ice. That's funny. 2013, Antarctic global warming scientists were rescued from too much ice after a third icebreaker had abandoned the effort to save them. It's all too much. 2012, Rio de Janeiro's International Climate Conference, attendees were shivering in the coldest June temperatures in recorded history there in South America. 2009, a global warming trek to the North Pole. They made it only halfway of their route, and they had to give up due to the ice and cold. In London, they had their first October snow since 1922, almost 100 years, while Parliament was debating global warming. 2008, Al Gore's Doomsday warming talk at Harvard was greeted by 125-year low temperature record. And it goes on and on. So, by the way, you see all this evidence against global warming at our website, kgov.com/globalwarming. That will bring you right there with a great interview. Okay, so we're going through the news. We're reading the news. And we come to this devastating story. Wow. A former Colorado Buff football player, in fact, Heisman Trophy winner, Rashan Salaam, is now dead. He died at the age of 42. They found his body in a park up in Boulder. Just a horrific, horrific account of what happened to this man. And the news has leaked, although the autopsy is just now being conducted, from Salaam's mother. And it's been reported in the Denver Post and the Boulder Daily Camera. I think it was on 9 News that this was a suicide. He committed suicide. He left a suicide note. And so that's a great tragedy. And if you remember anything about this guy's career, he did so very well. Remember back with Coach Bill McCartney and the CU Buffs? and they became, what, the number one team in the country. And they're having a resurgence again. And once again, it's interesting, coincidental, but there's another Christian coach up in Boulder, of all places. And the team is excelling again. It's just something how teams will excel. For example, you have somebody like a Tim Tebow who honors the Lord and is such a positive influence on everyone around him. And then you have the, how many athletes have destroyed their careers? Is it numbering in the thousands, I would assume? And this is just the latest one back in the news, because Rashaan Salaam had been in the news since he went from Boulder, the CU Buffaloes, to the NFL. And he starts playing for, it was Chicago, right? And his career got cut short because, well, he was a pothead. And he acknowledged that he was a pothead. He never grew up. And marijuana, we've been reporting, of course, on the deadly effects of marijuana. And one of them, in fact, I'm going to go right now to our website, kgov.com/pot, where we have the world's most complete list of peer-reviewed scientific reports studying the effects of marijuana. And, you know, we need to put a link to this tragic story in the end of Rashaan Salaam's life on this list, because let me search our list for suicide. Yeah, right here. In 2014, a large study in the medical journal Lancet over in England, they reported a sevenfold increase in the likelihood of attempted suicide if you use pot, if you smoke pot. And so you know what I'm going to do? Right next to the link to that study, I'm going to put a link to this tragic report at the Denver Post of Rashaan Salaam's death, suicide by his own hand, and in a park in Boulder, Colorado. You know, Boulder, the pot capital of Colorado. And so, in a sense, it's appropriate, in a tragic sense, that Boulder now will be known also as the place where a Heisman Trophy winner took his own life. Inappropriate. So this one study in the journal Lancet showed that high schoolers who smoke pot were 63% less likely to graduate. Imagine that, 60% less likely to graduate than teenagers who didn't smoke pot. That there was an eightfold increased odds of using other illegal drugs, eightfold increase, and the sevenfold increase of the likelihood of attempted suicide. And that's just one study, right? And we have dozens of studies here, each one more devastating than the next. And perhaps the worst of them all, the one that Doug McBurney and I just reported on this week, was the low blood flow, where they studied 1,000 U.S. pot smokers, and they found, compared to their control group of 100 U.S. citizens who don't smoke pot, they found that all 1,000 had low blood flow throughout their brain, and especially restricted blood flow in the brain's memory section, memory dementia region, where they see that Alzheimer's patients have a problem in this part of their brain. And so that's one of the effects of marijuana. That's just one. And of course, we reported on how pot mutates your DNA. Big study this year, validating a study from 2009, where they said, look, the evidence is marijuana is mutating your DNA. And now they figured out how it's doing it. And the effects don't necessarily show up in your life, but you have a child, or your child has a son or a daughter, a grandchild, and then they suffer because you're a loser, because you're a pothead. Isn't that devastating? Yeah, you know, people who use drugs and they have kids, and their kids, sometimes you could see that their child is something is terribly wrong. And there's all kinds of reasons, not just drugs, why a child would be born with a birth defect or a severe abnormality or a minor one. But drug use adds big time to the devastation that happens to children when it's none of their fault, but their parents have set them up to fail. Okay, so that's another news story. And we can understand one of the significant reasons, factors why Rashan Salaam is now dead. Just absolutely devastating. Another talk show host in Colorado, his name is Dan Kaplis, well known here in this state. He has used his radio show, like we have here at Bob and Yurt Live, to warn people about marijuana and about the unintended consequences of the state of Colorado and so many other states now decriminalizing marijuana. Dan fights to recriminalize marijuana. Of course, that should be done. We explain all that on our website, kgov.com/pot. But what Dan Kaplis did, he attended CU. He's an alumnus. And the school's football program was a major part of his life. And so, you know, just the heartache that he was able to share with his audience today from this, the suicide of Rashan Salaam. Devastating. How many lives ruined? How many people destroyed? Including young people, especially young people, but people generally, how many lives ruined? But selfishness and pride, rebellion against God, where people say to God, don't tell me what to do. And they shake their fist at God and say, don't tell me what to do. God tells us it's a sin to get drunk, drunkenness. You know, in the Bible, pharmakia, using drugs to alter your state of mind, you become grossly negligent of your control of your own body, your own actions. And thus, it's inherently criminal to be drunk or to be high. And people say to God, don't tell me what to do. And then they suffer the consequences. All right, so continuing with the headlines, here's a report. Cosmic dust found in city rooftops in Paris. This is interesting. Here at Bob and Yurt Live every Friday, we do a science show, Real Science Radio. And it is so fun to be able to read the science news and to know where they're right, where they're wrong, where we expect that further research will reinforce a claim or that further research is going to show that such and such a claim is false. It's so fun to have that kind of insight. And dozens of major discoveries made since we've been on the air, and we come to them and say, these are parts of the predictions of the biblical worldview, a Christian worldview. And so this is a fun one. Cosmic dust found in city rooftop gutters. So a small team of researchers from the Imperial College London and the Natural History Museum in London. And by the way, what a tremendous museum. Back when Will Duffy and I went to England to prepare for our King James Only debate, and Will had to return to the U.S. for business, and I stayed on and went to some of their museums. And, wow, the Natural History Museum. This is one of the places where they looked for dinosaur soft tissue. And the researchers there, they thought, well, all over the world, scientists, paleontologists are breaking open dinosaur bones. And they're looking inside with microscopes. And they're finding blood vessels. You know, blood vessels could be tiny, of course, and blood cells. You need a microscope to see these things. And they're looking inside with microscopes, and they're finding soft tissue, transparent, flexible. It's just stunning. So they said, well, we've got 100,000 dinosaur bones in our inventory. Let's break some of those open. So they selected 8 bones that were unrelated to each other, just 8 random dinosaur bones from their inventory. These had all been sitting in their storage facilities for about 100 years. And they think they belong to 8 different dinosaurs. And they break them open, and they publish in one of the world's more prestigious journals. And they find red blood cells and other types of original dinosaur soft tissue that is not decomposed. It's still there. The molecular biology is still there. You could even sequence some of the proteins. They found soft tissue in 6 out of the 8 bones. How's that for extraordinary? So I asked one of the curators there, where's your dinosaur soft tissue exhibit? And he said, oh, you know, we don't have one of those. Well, this is the greatest discovery in the history of paleontology, and this is the perhaps the greatest natural history museum in the world. So wouldn't it be fitting for you guys to have an exhibit? Now, here we are a year later. I don't think they've opened their exhibit yet. I think we would have heard at Real Science Radio if that had happened. But anyway, also, so the Natural History Museum in London with Imperial College, and in Norway, something called Project Stardust, and then researchers from the Belgium Museum. And they went through basically the soot and dirt in the gutters of buildings in Paris and 2 other cities, Oslo in Norway and Berlin, got a whole bunch of dirt, brought it back to the lab, and they argue that, well, cosmic dust tends to be magnetized. So they used magnets, and they separated out the magnetic particles. They got about 500 magnetic samples, and they said, oh, look, these here, this is cosmic dust. And we do know that there's dust in the solar system, and it does fall through Earth's atmosphere and settles on the Earth. Now, what's interesting is meteorites, they do this, you know, constantly, daily, thousands of micrometeorites, occasionally larger ones. If there's one the size of a softball, it'll light up the sky over a city and or over a state. And you have meteorites, which tend to be heavy in nickel, a lot of nickel. And if we had billions of years of nickel, meteoritic dust, heavy in nickel, impacting the surface of the Earth, we should have an awful lot of nickel on the surface of the Earth, which we don't. But at any rate, they said, well, let's find this cosmic dust and see if it's on the roofs of our cities, because previously they'd go down to Antarctica, where they thought they're far enough from localized pollution, and they'd find dust there, and they'd say, this is cosmic dust. So they found a whole bunch. And they said, okay, we found cosmic dust, but there's something weird here. This dust is very different than the dust we've been finding in Antarctica. The grains down from down south, South Pole, they have feather-like crystals in them. And these, there's a photo of one of these round spheres of dust. And they said, these don't. They're just different. So they're telling the story of why they think it is that these cosmic dust particles are different than the ones that they've more traditionally collected from Antarctica. And this is published in the journal Geology, so a mainstream science journal, peer-reviewed. And they say, well, basically, we think it has to do with gravity and the slight changes in the orbits of planets in the solar system. So as I share this explanation with you, tell me if you think that it sounds informed and reliable, or if it's just a story that's being made up to accommodate some observation. The scientist thought that over millions of years, the orbits of Mars and the Earth vary slightly, and that would be true, slightly. And this causes a disturbance in the force. They didn't say in the force. It causes a disturbance in the gravity that these planets exert. And this influences the trajectory of the microscopic particles as they hurtle through space. And in turn, it affects how the cosmic dust plummets through the atmosphere and how much it's heated and all that. And they go on, of course. So what do you think that story, explains really the observation? Because the observation, the dust particles that they're looking at that are magnetized, that's the data. And unless the data is being fabricated, which happens in physics, happens in biology, remember Cambridge's molecular biology lab where they had data about how proteins are formed? And they said it's so simple. We covered this in our interview with Dr. Douglas Axe while he was there at Cambridge, the lab founded by, you know, some of the guys who discovered the DNA molecule, brilliant scientists. But they said, well, proteins form simply. If they're so simple, the order, the sequence of the amino acids doesn't matter. It's just whether the amino acids, whether they like water or they don't like water. And this paper was published, I think it was in the journal Nature, and within a short time it was retracted because the data was wrong. Now, the woman who was the lead researcher, she quit unexpectedly. She just disappeared. So who knows? But even in physics, when it was claimed, researchers found the heaviest elements, and their paper had been retracted because they had fabricated some of their research. And it's recognized that there's a crisis in the secular peer-reviewed scientific world because mistakes are routinely not caught. When a paper affirms the politically correct view, whether it's the Big Bang or Darwinism or whatever, mistakes are typically not caught, and even fraud often passes and is published by the world's leading journals and magazines like National Geographic, as we've seen. And so, real crisis. But things like this is a story that likely, very likely, has nothing to do with an explanation. Certainly, the origins of the solar system and cosmic dust. I mean, they have the hardest time in the world explaining where you get dust from the Big Bang. They used to say dust, heavier elements, came from supernova explosions, from a supernova. And now that's been retracted as an explanation because supernovas cannot produce the heavy elements. So something like dust settling on the earth is a challenge to those who do not have a biblical worldview. May God bless you.